Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Every second Wednesday, third hour, we have Master Justin Deagle, my oldest son, who's an amazing guy. He can teach me things, which is quite a ways to go. I mean, if somebody can teach you something and is your own son, it's like, wow. Master speaks multiple languages. He's the first in the world to have this technology that is basically biblical astrology to actually look at group behavior, mathematical analysis, and basically analyzing whether it's personal events for a person and their natal analysis or analyzing horary ideas. When ideas come forward, he can actually give you some intelligence in terms of what the answer to the question is that you raise, or whether it's group behavior, such as negotiations with NATO right now with Trump or North Korea. And Matthew, you've got some interesting theses that you mentioned to me last week that you were visiting California before you went back to Flagstaff, Arizona to your university courses in journalism, etc. I'd like you to, I didn't want to steal your thunder, so I don't know what you're going to say today, but you did give me kind of a hint what you're going to talk about, so let's get started.
I'll give you a hint. What did I say?
I think you said you're going to do an analysis of what you see the future for America, the current trajectory of events. But I'm not sure if that's what your topic is today, but I suspected that you've got some interesting insights.
Yeah, so today I wanted, last time I talked about some of the things about genetics of aggression and the influence of traditional religions and traditional law and order on those behaviors. Like, remember, I was discussing how how Muslim countries in Africa, for example, have much lower crime rates on average than blacks in the USA because they are Muslims, so they are following a traditional culture with severe laws and punishments and prohibitions, right? Whereas
right.
In the U.S., there are not such severe prohibitions on or control of drug abuse, for example, prostitution, homosexuality, and gangs, and crime in general. So people have a very negative view of Islam when it's actually misplaced. The problem with immigrants into Europe is not Islam, that they're leaving Muslim countries and going to a liberal society where they are not genetically compatible with the kind of lax law and order they have in Europe, so they become criminals. In fact, it attracts criminals as a result. That's why organized crime is going from North Africa into Europe and becoming gangs in Sweden and Germany.
Right.
And they already are gangs in North Africa. And they are leaving Muslim countries because it's harder for gangs to operate in Muslim countries, because of the severity of the law enforcement. And it's the same reason I was saying why the police are more draconian and more aggressive toward blacks in the USA than they are toward whites on average, is because of a higher crime rate and more criminal tendencies in their genetics, which require a more severe system of law and order.
Right.
In the absence of that, I mean, although there is an increase, although there is, as I stated before, there actually is a tendency, a trend for blacks to convert to Islam because it's people like Louis Farrakhan. The general trend is toward total atheism, materialism, and debauch in the U.S., and there's not a sufficient amount of law and order to control the criminal. elements of my black.
Yeah, it's because of the genetics. Now, let me throw something in and see what your response is.
Mainly because of NDMA. Because the most blacks, so, like 75 to 80%, have low activity NAOA alleles. They have, so that means that they're more prone to addiction and out of control aggression and stuff like that on average than whites, so only 25% of whom have these alleles.
So you can treat them nutritionally the kind of metabolically, right?
Some degree of law and order is possible in Europe with its liberal system, although even that is too lax for Europeans. Because you still see there's a mafia and so forth in Italy. It's still too lax even for Europeans, but it's especially too lax for Muslims. So already the Enlightenment type of liberal society is inadequate to control crime among whites, so it's all the more inadequate to control crime among Africans and Middle Easterns.
Oh, really?
Now, something else I wanted to point out, though, is that we don't even have to write new laws necessarily to control some of these degenerations, because some things that are made into a big moral debate are already illegal when you just understand the definitions. So, for example, something else people have a big problem with these traditional religions and cultures, even though they demonstrably work on average, right? Obviously, Islam works a lot better for blacks, for example, than the United States and a liberal system does, as is proven by the difference in the crime rates, right? That liberal secular society does not work at controlling blacks, but Islam does, because they're actually law-abiding people. In fact, it doesn't even have to do with, therefore, with the genetics or the IQ or anything, because Senegal, for example, the average IQ in Senegal is like 70, and the average person there is just a peanut farmer, but there's a low crime rate in general in all forms of crime in Senegal because of Islam. Meanwhile, Americans and black Americans have an IQ about 15 points higher on average. They're actually smarter, and yet there's way worse crime because there's not any traditional system of morality or draconian law and order.
Yeah, and then, of course, we don't intervene with nutrition, and our nutrition in our society has depleted minerals in our food, toxic foods that are genetically modified, toxic water, and scalar radiation, and vaccines that, by the way, I did research on this a couple of years ago and found out that if you look at the specific genes that predispose to ADD, ADHD, and brain damage to the blood-brain barrier, the gene complexes that are predisposed to that are 3 to 5 times more likely in blacks and Hispanic population than whites. And therefore, if you vaccinate a child, they're more likely to be damaged by...
But they're not the most significant factor, I think. It's proven by comparing genetically similar populations.
Right.
In the U.S. and Africa. The main factor, I think, is just a lack of traditions, and that traditional systems of morality and law and order are tried and true and should not just be totally abandoned as is being promoted by...
Well, that's really interesting.
...and liberals. It's not a good idea to abandon traditional law and order, and actually some things that are considered controversial or even to be considered human rights by liberals on average are actually not rights, but they're actually crimes even under our current definitions if you just define things correctly. So
yeah.
For example, outside of the case of the actual threat to human life, such as the life of the mother, abortion qualifies as first degree murder even according to our current laws.
Right.
And why? Is because unless the mother herself is going to die because of a pregnancy, right?
But I know as a doctor that doesn't occur. I mean, when I used to be on the other side of the issue back in the early 80s, before I became fully pro-life in 1985, completely pro-life, I had been partially pro-life before and late-term abortions, what I realized is that there's no medical indication for abortion, and then if you have a tubal pregnancy, it's not a pregnancy that's going to survive anyway, unless you could, the future, transplant that baby to a
hysterectomy, right?
Right. So, it doesn't matter if the woman's got...
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying except for in cases like a tubal pregnancy where a hysterectomy is required to save the mother's life. In general, abortion actually qualifies as first-degree murder, and here's why. Because first-degree murder is defined as the premeditated killing of a person, and if you look logically, a person is defined as somebody with a personality, which is based on what? But the individual's brain. And the individual's brain development begins with neurulation about 3 weeks after conception. So, therefore, any feasible abortion is going to take place after 3 weeks after conception.
Right.
Therefore, they all qualify as first-degree murder, not just...
Well, yeah, it's one of the areas where Islam...
In other words, the mother and the doctor could both be charged with conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, and potentially either one of them could even be executed in some states for committing abortion.
Well, here's what I suspect...
It's regarded as a right by feminists, for example, even though it's actually severe felony. It's the same thing actually with homosexuals. Here's something else where traditional culture is right, is that even if not all homosexuals are totally out of control, well, we can talk about this after the break. This is something else which is already illegal in its usual form, and I'll explain why.
Yeah, and we want to get into that and why we have to understand why the genetics and culture and even religions are tied to the survivability of a nation is not what you might expect. And also, we want to get into your thesis of what will happen if the left starts to get power, say, after Trump is gone in 2024, what will happen to America? Before we get started with you, I want to put out a thesis. What you're basically laying out is that the genetics of certain subpopulation increases the risk of, say, vaccines, of the lack of law.
The main point is just to compare a traditional society with the same genetics and the same supposed genetic problems as blacks in the U.S. that behave better than whites in the U.S. as far as crime.
Right.
And why? Yeah. Because of traditional culture, because of its land. Now, that's why you should be skeptical whenever somebody like Geert Wilders or whatever is going against this land, because they're basically promoting degeneracy. They're going against traditional culture that maintains control over these people, as opposed to the real problem, which is the immigration of people from countries with traditional law and order to a society without these restrictions, and therefore it attracts organized criminals, such as African gangs.
Now, what do you think is going to happen to Germany? Because I heard that her minister in Germany is actually coming against...
So what I'm saying is that the anti-Islam stuff is probably at least partly sponsored by people like gay rights organizations and homosexuals. And I want to talk about that as well, that even though you can't technically outlaw homosexuality in the U.S., you can actually the behavior typical of homosexuals is already illegal. I'll explain why. The reason why the average behavior of a homosexual man is illegal is because it's reckless endangerment. It's reckless endangerment of the partner as well as the public because of the rate of promiscuity. The average homosexual has between 100 and 1,000 partners in his lifetime, which is staggeringly higher than any other group, any other identifiable sexual orientation or whatever. Gay men are engaging in extreme promiscuity and unsafe sex, and some of them even intentionally get themselves infected with AIDS. So in other words, although presumably you can't punish somebody for monogamous homosexual behavior, you can certainly punish them for reckless endangerment, and this is what vice cops should be focusing on and not the foolishness that they currently are. For example, we have FBI and local vice police departments pretending to be like teenage girls online to entrap men, which is ridiculous because teenage girls, on average, women in general, are not very promiscuous, so there's not very much of a danger to society and their sexual behavior. It's foolishness for the police to be focusing on that. It doesn't protect anybody. In contrast, homosexuals are extremely promiscuous, and therefore they are actually, because they pose an immediate threat to society with their promiscuity, which is the source of diseases like HIV. And they also have the highest rate of syphilis infection and so forth in the U.S. because of their promiscuity, which is totally unchecked. So obviously, this is already illegal. It's called reckless endangerment. And they prosecute people for it all the time. Like there's a guy right now who's on trial for driving his car over the speed limit with a child in the passenger seat without a seatbelt on. That guy is being charged with reckless endangerment. And he's going to, and it's a Class A misdemeanor, so you can get up to, like up to 7 years in jail for it, I think. Usually just like a few months, at least a year, right? I think it's like a year sentence, minimum 6 months. you can get probation, right? But that's the thing, is that homosexual behavior, the typical homosexual behavior is reckless endangerment, which means that they can get, it's either a Class A misdemeanor or a Class D felony, which means they can get up to 7 years in jail.
Yeah, but in our current culture, that's not likely to happen, is it?
They can be entrapped by vice police that are currently pretending to be 16-year-old girls online that are nonsense like that. And those people who are wasting their time with the supposed threat of teenage girl sexual behavior, which is not a threat because of their low rate of promiscuity. Now, here's why. Because the average teenage girl has 1 to 2 sexual partners. The average gay man has over 100. So there's not a threat to society from. There's a threat to society from gays.
Now, Matt, I'd like you to get into some of the slums you talked about.
Now, I want to talk about why prostitution, for the exact same reason, prostitution cannot be legalized because it constitutes reckless endangerment to the public.
Right, it does.
Because prostitutes spread diseases.
I heard that they're going to actually start to outlaw it again back in Nevada. Have you heard about that?
It should be illegal everywhere that there is a law against reckless endangerment. Everywhere that there is a reckless endangerment law, homosexual behavior should be monitored by vice police, and they should be entrapped and arrested for attempting to have promiscuous sex in public places. And everywhere that there's a reckless endangerment law, prostitution must also be illegal because it constitutes the same thing. It's a crime, so it cannot be legalized.
Now, one of the things,
for example, in Africa, the main source of HIV is reportedly prostitution, even though it originated with AIDS.
That's true. In Soweto and the other areas,
homosexual men is that they be prostitutes and they get AIDS from them.
Right.
So obviously, that cannot be legalized. And the thing is that we have human rights organizations that are actually promoting the notion that having sex however you want and wherever you want with whomever you want is somehow a right. Which means what? It can't be a right. Because think about it. If sex is a right, then incels, for example, have a right to have sex when they clearly do not. Sex is a resource, not a right. And therefore, the abuse of the resource has to be curtailed by the government, just like with any other resource, like hunting or fishing. You have to curtail the abuse of the resource because the overuse of the resource causes destruction, causes harm to society,
right,
or to the environment.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to get into the other topic.
And so therefore, these human rights groups that go around saying that sex is a right and there's such thing as gay rights, there's no such thing as gay rights. Gays have to obey the law like everybody else. So they don't have a right to have sex with random people, maybe at bars or whatever. They don't have a right to do that.
That's a very illogical way of looking at it. And of course, I would assume that our new justice that we appointed, Kavanaugh, is going to look at the issue of Roe versus Wade and other laws.
Well, see, the thing is you don't even need sodomy laws. You see, that's just a distraction. That was invented by gays themselves in order to distract us from by making the law prosecute something difficult to prosecute, so it's more unfrequently prosecuted.
Right.
You don't even need sodomy laws. You need is just to charge them with reckless endangerment and put them away for 7 years.
Now, Matthew, I want you to get into your other topic because I was very titillated by the idea that you talked about the future of America. Where are we going?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. I also want to say that it is very clear to me, comparing the behavior of Muslims in Africa to the Muslim, so-called Muslim immigrants in Europe, that the problem with the immigrants in Europe is by far not Islam or Islamic beliefs like being promoted by Christians and homosexuals and so forth. That's just lies. The problem is their criminal behavior, their criminal conduct, and the amount of crime of all kinds that they bring to Europe. They even become henchmen of the local criminal organizations like the Mafia in Italy, the Camorra.
Right.
They're hired by them to sell drugs and so forth. They're made into prostitutes by them. That's the problem, is criminals, not a religion. There's nothing wrong with traditional societies. Obviously, they're not perfect, but the thing is that their traditions and their morals are tried and true. They work. They've worked for 1,000 years. They've been reducing crime rates for 1,000 years. So you want to get rid of that, then you're a fool. So the same thing in our country. Right? We're getting rid of traditional morality. We're getting rid of traditional ideas of right and wrong, which, however, have stood the test of time, and they've survived over time. So they've
actually, we see that happen in Canada, where it's against,
so to speak.
We see that in Canada, where the liberality has gotten to destroy the culture, and it's increasing crime
it's
in Canada.
So-called liberality, what it is actually just illogic.
Right.
Trying to make a right out of something which is not a right. Trying to make a right out of a resource or even a right out of a crime. Now, as far as the USA, where the USA is going in the future, I think we can talk about it after the break here, but
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
There's going to be a secession of a few states on account of the actions of the next Democratic president.
Yeah, things tend to swing back and forth, and if we have a Democratic president, Congress coming up in 2025, things are going to get dicey, and you're going to analyze it and show us the lay it all out for us. Back in a moment. And Matt, I'd like you to bring your thesis forward of what you see in the future of America.
I want to talk more about the reasons behind abortion being a felony, first of all, though, which
right.
I was discussing during the break, which is that you can't define there's a moment at which a person who has a brain in any form becomes a person because it's continuous development. Therefore, there's no beginning of it other than the actual beginning of brain development, which is neurulation. The same reason why you can't say there's a human ancestor where it became human, where it first became human. It was all along, it was human. All human ancestors from the very beginning were human. Likewise, all any person with even the beginnings of a brain, any human with even the beginnings of a brain is a person because they have a personality, i.e. a unique brain. So from neurulation, 3 weeks after conception, an embryo is a person, and therefore premeditated killing of it is a first-degree felony.
Yeah.
And it's first-degree murder, right? It's a Class A felony. You get a life, mandatory life sentence or even the death sentence in some states for first-degree murder.
Yeah,
now,
exactly. Yeah.
The thing is, same thing with, as I was saying, homosexual behavior is at least a Class A misdemeanor, typical homosexual behavior such as public sex with strangers. And it's not a violation of their right to privacy, as argued by human rights groups, because it's in a public place and it's public endangerment. You don't have the right to privacy over behavior that takes place in a public domain, public location, which endangers the public. So it's reckless endangerment of the public. And therefore,
right.
Vice police should stop pretending to be teenage girls online, get off their asses, and start arresting gays for their typical promiscuous behavior.
Right.
It's
now,
the law. If you don't have to define a new law that targets them specifically, it's already well known their rate of promiscuity and their rate of sexually transmitted disease. So technically, you cannot arrest somebody for gay activity in their own home, but you can arrest them for gay activity at the public locations at which they typically engage in such promiscuous behavior.
Right. Now, one of the things
being at a location for this purpose. That's the
right.
same thing with prostitution. It's also reckless endangerment of the public, so it can't be legal. It cannot be legalized because it contradicts another existing law.
Right.
And as I said, abortion is not just not a right. If it's not something like a tubal pregnancy in which a hysterectomy is necessary, which implies an abortion, then what happens? It's not a killing in self-defense. It's a premeditated killing of a person for no reason, i.e. murder.
Right.
Now, the thing with the USA, you're asking about what I think is going to happen in America, is that we can see what the Democrats are pushing right now, which is they're pushing the dissolution of ICE, for example, which deals with organized crime coming from Mexico and illegal immigrants. They're pushing for the laxening of all of our immigration laws. And they claim they're not for open borders, but they essentially want to weaken our system of control over the already out of control of illegal immigration, which I think in places like where I am here in Arizona and in places like where Alex Jones is in Texas, that's not going to fly because these states are both very anti-immigration to the point that we even have the Minutemen, or vigilantes, that monitor the borders themselves. So the problem is already out of control, and they want to make it even worse. The result being, I think, this is a provocation to these states such as Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico that are anti-immigration. Now, the other thing I think that's a provocation is they're going to try to repeal the Second Amendment or to bring in illegal nationwide gun control laws, which
right.
will change the local state laws in places like Arizona and Texas. And restrict our gun ownership or gun carriage and so forth,
right.
which is another provocation. I think these two things alone, the attempt at nationwide federal gun control and the attempt to eliminate border control will be a provocation for the states most affected by these false laws to secede from the union, which are namely Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Right. I think you're right on there.
And Alaska. I forgot to mention Alaska also. They're probably all likely to secede from the union in the 2020s as a result of these pushes for illegal laws, you know, so-called laws that violate the Constitution.
Wow.
And the,
I think you're right on, though. It makes total sense.
Ignoring the will of the people in these states is going to result in an irreconcilable difference between the state governments and the federal government. So they're going to be forced to secede. So they're probably going to unilaterally secede from the USA and create a different, I mean, it's going to be the exact same system of government and everything, but it'll be a different country.
Yeah, I see America, if there ever is a swing back where the Democrats take over control of the presidency and say one or both houses of government, that America will no longer exist. It'll break up into three or four.
I don't think it's going to break. I think eventually after World War III, it'll break up into even more territories. But initially, what I expect to happen is just the secession of these states most affected by gun control and immigration. So,
right, but I would also include in those, I would include states like Montana.
Alaska is very pro-gun.
Alaska and Montana.
Is very pro-gun. And of course, Arizona and Texas are also very anti-immigration. Consequently,
right.
I expect these states to secede. And what will happen, though, this is not totally bad, because meanwhile, in the rest of the U.S., unfortunately, I expect them to become part of this super state with the European Union through alliance with them, which is pretty much Armageddon for them, because they're going to continue to provoke against Russia. I think that these states here, like Arizona and Texas, are going to necessarily become at least partial allies or trade allies of China and Russia. Meanwhile, China and Russia have plans, China especially, to invade Canada through Alaska. So probably what's going to happen is that it's not a plan they're necessarily pursuing, but it's a plan they have as a plan B in the event their own personal states are attacked by the European Union or the U.S. So they aren't actually suicidal enough to have this as an immediate go-to, but in the event that the European Union and the USA continue to encroach upon Russia, for example, and threaten the Russian Federation or its existence, in other words, then they will begin a thermonuclear war with the so-called West.
That's why this meeting with Putin is so important.
Which means I recommend, if you're in a state other than those ones I mentioned, like Arizona or Texas, you don't want to be there, because in about 15 years, those places are going to get nuked. And I mean that they're going to be wiped out. Like California or New York or Massachusetts, those states are going to be leveled.
Well, I'm hoping one of the big things coming up here is Gavin Newsom. And a couple comments I'd like to make, and I want to hear your response. Gavin Newsom destroyed San Francisco.
Pro-immigrants.
Yeah.
Right. He's for an even stronger gun control legislation in California. Obviously, he's not a friend of anybody like this. And he's clearly another ally of what I call Jim Jones II, which is behind the scenes manipulating this stuff, trying to manipulate the merger of the U.S. and the EU, for example, trying to manipulate the institution of illogically progressive so-called laws, such as, you know, removing borders within these super states.
I wonder why they use such evil and deceptive words like progressive.
Oh, well.
There's nothing progressive about it, is there?
Well, that's why I call it Jim Jones II, because it's the same thing as Jonestown, pretty much. It's not Marxist, right? It's capitalist, but it's the same basic beliefs as Jonestown, like social justice and progress, just that it's not communist. It's capitalist, right? Very capitalist. That's why they got rid of Bernie Sanders in the Democratic National Convention, and they forced in Hillary Clinton, even though she was the less popular candidate. She's a capitalist, right? So,
yeah.
What can I say? I mean, I'm saying that these other states are going to get fried. Places besides like Arizona and Texas are not going to exist. Unless you're like in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, or maybe Alaska, even though it's, you know, not in the safest place, then I would recommend going there before this stuff happens.
Yeah. Interesting thesis, Matthew. That's the downside. So, Matthew, what I see right now is I see the rise of people. Like, for example, if I was going to pick out a person that was most likely, at say, beyond 2018 to 2020 to rise to power would be Kamala Harris. I don't see Biden or even Hillary Clinton.
Well, it's possible. I mean, the thing is that women in power in general is a bad thing. It's portrayed as something progressive, but the problem is that the women who are able to get into those positions of power are generally disagreeable personalities, and disagreeable women, as a rule, are either psychopaths or partially psychopathic. So people like Hillary Clinton, Angela Merkel, Theresa May, Margaret Thatcher even, people love her, but she was a dangerous person as well. And you can see with her completely unnecessary behavior in the Falklands.
Right.
She essentially turned Argentina into a permanent enemy of the UK for no reason. The thing with what they are is they're callous and disagreeable like men, but they're also irrational and illogical because they're female. So another danger here is that these women in positions of power, like Condoleezza Rice, for example, have been used as naive bimbos by Jim Jones II, as I call him, this illegal rogue CIA group. It's actually like a spin-off of the CIA, using paramilitary and Israelis and so forth, that is trying to take, that is behind a lot of this stuff since about 2000. And they like to use pathologically naive and foolish women as their bimbos, as I call them, or their stupid, delusional slaves to enact their policies. So Merkel is an example of that. She's one of the bimbos. Same thing with Condoleezza Rice, who didn't tell Bush about 9/11, right? She was also an inept, naive person. They purposely put these people in power. They're not all women either. Some of them are just effeminate men, like Justin Trudeau, for example, is also one of these people who was put in power by Jim Jones II to be one of his instruments. Because he's right. Pathologically naive and childish, just like Merkel. This is the and if you want to know how this phenomenon works, look, for example, at the example of analogous cults, like Keith Raniere with Nexium. His cult consists almost entirely of women who were literal slaves, bonded, branded slaves, in a false devotion and love of him as their cult leader. That's exactly what's going on here. Is that these, as a matter of fact, they've even attempted to manipulate the CIA or to steal information from them directly from the director of the CIA, right? So David Petraeus was seduced by this woman who was one of Jim Jones II's bimbos, Paula Broadwell, and she was recruited into this cult at the same school where Condoleezza Rice went in Denver.
Interesting.
So what can I say? This is what's going on. You have these women who are delusional and psychopathic, who are being used as an instrument of delusional ideas by a highly manipulative psychopathic cult leader that I call Jim Jones II. He's similar to Jim Jones, but he's currently operating in secret within this paramilitary copy of the CIA in Israel. So it's an illegal CIA, which after Bush developed all these surveillance capabilities and everything, he stole all this stuff through the Israelis and developed his own version of the CIA. So he has his own version of the NSA analyst informant program, his own version of the, therefore, of all the cyber warfare capabilities, his own version of the political action group. So he manipulates elections. He manipulates politics and mass opinion. He does all the same stuff as the political action group in the CIA, but he's illegal. you see?
Right.
And that's what this is. This is Jim Jones II. And he's going to become the president. He's going to make himself using the same techniques that the CIA uses to put people in power in unstable countries that the CIA is trying to manipulate. He's going to put himself in power as the president of the U.S. in 2029. So he'll be elected in 2028, inaugurated in 2029 as the president of the U.S. Now, as I was saying during the break, this isn't the real U.S. The real U.S. is just those seven or eight states that are going to secede from the Union that maintain the traditional laws of the U.S. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is going to be Jonestown. It's going to be merged with the EU into a dictatorship with totalitarian surveillance powers, microchipping of the population. It's going to be a nightmare under the control of a cult leader. That's what's going to happen here.
See? Right.
And that is also going to continue to be as they already are, through their paramilitary. For example, they were in Crimea, they were fighting Russian separatists in Crimea in 2014 without the authorization of the president. These are supposed CIA and FBI, but they're actually double agents of Jonestown. And these people are, same thing with the FBI probes into Russian meddling and everything. You know what that is? The interference in Trump's administration, it's disguised as the FBI, and the meddling is disguised as the Russians by somebody else. We'll get into that some other time. But it's actually this Jonestown thing. It's actually a cult that has the same powers of surveillance and manipulation as the CIA, consisting of hired mercenaries that are mostly Israelis.
Interesting.
See? Because the Israelis are just basically mercenaries and they'll do anything for money. So this guy just hired them to do his dirty work for him, along with other groups like Blackwater / Constellus. They're also a mercenary group. Don't ask me where he got the money for it. I have speculation about that, but he's obviously got a huge amount of money to pay for all of this. And what he's doing is he is trying to establish a dictatorship in the USA and EU based on cultic beliefs in social justice and progress, combined with hardcore totalitarian banker capitalism. So it's like the EU, right? It's a dictatorship by the banks, by the EU central bank. It's the same thing with what they want to do in the U.S. They want to make it into a dictatorship. And consequently, because of their foolish policies that their people promote, like the gun control and the immigration laxing, right, the immigration negligence, that's going to result in some states seceding and retaining traditional order of the USA, while most of the USA will join this cult. And as a result of their provocation of Russia and China, they will eventually be invaded. Canada will be invaded first, because the Chinese already have a bunch of Pakistani agents there. And then the USA will have to fight against China in Canada, and Russia will then come in and nuke the USA out of existence. So pretty much anywhere outside of Arizona.
Well, we don't have a missile defense, and it's purposely not been implemented.
Outside of those states, right? Even Alaska is pretty big, but it's still not totally safe because it's obviously an entry point for something which the Russians and Chinese are going to want to control. I'm saying that outside of, say, the safest state's probably Arizona, especially northeast Arizona. Texas obviously is prone to hurricanes, as is Louisiana. And that's something to consider here because weather weapons are a reality now. And they're going to use those on the East Coast.
And we talked about it in the first hour with Lowell Ponte, weather weapons.
As well as tsunami bombs. So if you are in anywhere in the European Union, right? So I'm saying if you're anywhere in Europe besides Norway and Switzerland, then you're screwed. And if you're anywhere in the U.S. besides these states I mentioned, like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, likewise, you're screwed because they're all going to get nuked. And they're not just going to get nuked. They're going to get attacked with every imaginable weapon of mass destruction. So nuclear weapons, all of those Satan missiles that the Russians have, those 50 megatons divided warheads with penetration aids, tons of them now. They're manufacturing them like a few a year at this point. And they're going to use those on American bases as well as the U.S. itself. They're going to use their weather weapon to create a giant hurricane that destroys everything in its path. They're going to use tsunami bombs to destroy the coast of both the U.S. and Britain. So be warned, this is going to happen here in about 15 years because of King Charles II.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Quite an analysis, Matt, and the outcome, of course, of the effects of biology and religious and control systems and the future of the country. Right now, what I see happening is Trump is rushing around doing lots of things that may be helpful, but the people around him are not giving
Russia,
him full advice.
Russia itself is not, it's plan A is not violent or aggressive, but it's plan B is defensive, so-called, which involves nuclear war.
Right, that's why if Trump can work out a way of getting peace, and they are natural allies.
The job with him, but the problem is if it comes after Trump, it's probably going to be on the other side, so beware.
Exactly. Yeah, beware if the left ever takes over government again after Trump, all hell is going to break loose.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
It's been said.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M, of NutraMedical.com. And a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.